Welcome back to season 3 of Snubs and Dubs, where we've been talking about the snubs and the dubs of the 74th Academy Award for Best Picture. I'm your host, Kyle Tobias, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Jason Miller. Jason, welcome to the second bonus episode of season 3.
We're in the bonus zonus, if you will. Getting our groove on, really sinking into it. Feels like after hours, you know? Yeah. Like, we've closed up shop, now we can be casual about it. If I were to wear a tie right now, I'd loosen it.
Yep.
How you feeling, Kyle?
I'm feeling good. It's been weird because, like, we've been trying to do this bonus episode for, like, a few weeks now.
Yeah, we're getting pretty deep into the run, and we have one more to do.
Yes. And, like, so now it's, like, this comes out just after episode 20, and the first one came out, like, after episode 8 or 13 or something. I don't know. We should have done this a little bit earlier, but, you know, life got in the way, and it's a bonus episode, so we don't have to do it.
No,
we could just cut it. It's just for you, listener. We don't even have, we don't even have to do
No, you know what? I'm leaving. I'm gone. I don't know this episode anymore. It's just a 60-minute long bonus episode.
This episode was Fast and Furious. All right, well, let's just hop into it. Of course, you can find time codes in the show notes if you want to skip around, but bonus episodes allow us to look at the movies from the year that might not be the best, but they are notable for other reasons, and so, of course, in the year of a lot of franchise starters, actually, we had to talk about The Fast and the Furious. Had you seen it before?
No, I've somehow never seen a single Fast and Furious movie.
Wow.
I didn't know what family was till yesterday. Kyle, have you seen this before?
I haven't seen this one. And actually, the only Fast and Furious movies I've seen are Furious 7, The Fate of the Furious, and Hobbs and Shaw, which are like... I'm like way out of it. Like, I shouldn't have even watched those movies. I feel like a lot of people jumped on board at 7, though.
Probably.
Because of, like, that was when Paul Walker had just passed away. So there's a lot of, I guess, like, a lot of reason to go.
Yeah. Sentimentality. Like,
yeah, that's it. That's exactly what I'm looking for. And so, yeah, of course, I went and checked that out. And I've been interested to watch this whole series, but I've just not ever done it. And so I was very excited that this was one that we could cover, because this is something I've wanted to do. But let's get into it, I guess. If you're interested in The Fast and the Furious, I've included links to the physical media related to it in the show notes. If you buy through that link, it'll help out our show. Or if you have any other Amazon shopping to do, follow the general link to help out our show in the process. A reminder that this is going to be a spoiler-filled conversation, so if you haven't seen The Fast and the Furious yet and you want to, go ahead and do so. But without further ado, let's get into it. The Fast and the Furious is a 2001 action film directed by Rob Cohen from a screenplay by Gary Scott Thomas, David Ayer, and Eric Berquist from a story by Thompson. Good breakout year for David Ayer, as he also wrote Training Day. That and this movie make up two of his first three produced films that he wrote on. Good for him.
That's a hot start.
Yeah. This movie isn't based on anything, but is inspired by the 1998 Vibe article titled Racer X. This stars Paul Walker as Brian O'Connor, Vin Diesel as Dominic Toretto, Michelle Rodriguez as Letty Oritz, and Jordana Brewster as Mia Toretto. It is a runtime of 106 minutes and it released on June 22nd, 2001. Jason, what do you think of The Fast and the Furious?
Well, I want to start off by saying that David Ayer is an A-cab legend, because two of the three movies he first wrote were, what if the cops were the bad guys?
Yeah.
And I commend that. I think that's a fun way to start out. Mm-hmm. The Fast and the Furious is an action movie about racing cars. Kyle, how do you feel about The Fast and the Furious?
Literally, it is exactly as described, but also exactly what I wanted from it. It is just stupid, fun, early 2000s action movie. It's got like all of the songs you would expect are from that era. The editing is of the era. Like the aesthetic is of the era. At the time when I was watching, it was exactly what I was in the mood for. And I had a great time.
All the songs in this are a piece of shit.
Really?
Every song. Well, I mean, like, this is opinion based.
Yeah.
They're terrible, irredeemable. All of them sucked. And like watching it, I watch every movie with subtitles. That's who I am as a human being. The only thing worse than listening to the music was also reading the words of the lyrics, because they all suck. They're all bad. All these songs made the movie worse.
Yeah.
But
like, don't get me wrong, I'm not going to leave and like listen to these songs, but it does place it in the era. And it is, I think, the perfect sort of audio companion to this type of movie.
This felt like an enema for my ears. I hated these.
But yeah, Moulin Rouge was a good thing for your ears. Jesus Christ.
Fun, welcome, good natured, all American, great old time.
Oh,
wait, no, it's French.
Well, do you want to get into the plot quickly?
Sure.
I actually did something kind of interesting and different and cool and fun. Have you heard of ChatGPT?
I have. I listened to this one podcast called Trash Future where they wrote the intro using that chat.
Yeah.
And this is a complete aside, but every time they tried to rewrite the chat bot to give it more like concrete instructions on what to do, it kept making up a mascot for them and they couldn't stop it from doing that. So I have a fun-filled adventure into that, but I'm sure somewhere in the back end it's going to enslave us all. But Kyle, that's what I know about it.
Yeah. So if the listeners don't know, it's an AI chat where you can basically put in a prompt and it'll just do what you ask it, essentially, to a degree. Mm-hmm. Like, it can't connect to the internet, but it does have like a large database of knowledge that it can pull from. So in this case, since the Wikipedia plot was way too long for a bonus episode, I prompted it with, compress this plot summary for the Fast and the Furious into just 3 paragraphs. And then I pasted the Wikipedia plot summary into it and press enter. What's even cooler is if you didn't even have the existing plot summary, you could just ask it for a plot summary of the Fast and the Furious and it'll give you like 1 paragraph and then you can ask it to continue to expand.
I'd be so curious what it put out with that.
Yeah. And so I found it was a pretty good plot when I gave it the prompt. And I also found that when I gave it the Wikipedia plot, it was a little bit more consistent than when I just asked for it. So anyways, this is the plot from Wikipedia / the AI chat GPT. So I'm going to give this a quick read here. The Fast and the Furious is a story about a heist crew that steals electronic goods from a truck on a deserted highway. In response, a joint LAPD and FBI task force sends undercover officer Brian O'Connor to investigate. He begins his investigation at Toretto's Market and meets Mia, sister of infamous street racer Dominic Toretto. After attending an illegal street race, Brian is forced to bet his car in a race against Dom and loses. However, the LAPD arrives before Dominic can take the car and Brian helps him escape. Brian is eventually able to link Dominic's rival, Johnny Tran, to the truck hijackings. Tran and his cousin Lance are arrested, but the electronics are proved to have been purchased legally, forcing Brian to confront his suspicion that Dominic is the true mastermind. He is given 36 hours to find the heist crew and attends Race Wars to investigate. There, Jesse wagers his father's car against Tran and loses, causing a fight between Tran and Dom. Brian reveals his true identity to Mia and they help him find the heist crew. The crew performs the final heist, but Vince is shot and Letty is run off the road. Brian and Mia save Vince and reveal Brian's identity, causing the crew to flee before the authorities arrive. Later, Tran and Lance perform a drive-by shooting, killing Jesse. Brian and Dom give chase and kill Tran, but Dominic crashes his car. Instead of arresting him, Brian gives him the keys to his car, ending the film in a draw. But yeah, that's Fast and Furious.
Yeah.
I'm going to use that for every plot summary now.
That is, I'm very impressed by that, honestly.
It was so efficient.
Yeah.
And it was quick, too. So I'm
I wish it gave us a mascot, though. Did we get a Raskit to write us an intro? Then it'll give us one.
Sure. All right. So what do you think of Fast Furious? It's good.
This is a movie about dudes having testosterone for like just north of an hour and a half.
Yeah.
I don't know if I like it.
Yeah, that's fair.
It doesn't need to be that long. Everything that they do in this, first of all, how on earth did the Wikipedia plot be longer than 3 paragraphs? I don't know if 3 paragraphs of stuff happened.
Yeah, well, that was what surprised me too. I was actually kind of impressed with how long it was. Like, it didn't need to be. It did need to be more than 90 minutes.
No.
That's for sure. Like, this movie is easily just like a 90 minute race fest, but like, it just is a little bit overstuffed, but honestly, I found that I was on board for all of it.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it's dumb. Like, it's not a, like, if you're looking for intellectual drama, like, you're not here for that. Like, this is just men, testosterone, racing cars, a lot of half-naked women,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of emotions and rivalries and energy. And like, if that's what you're in for, then like, if you're up for that, then like, this is exactly what you want. But you're also, it could also leave you with a lot to be desired because it's not very substantial.
I will say the actors play it perfectly. They're so overly dramatic in just the right way that they nail it.
Yeah.
I just think it's a messy screenplay. And one unforgivable thing is the last like scene where the crew is trying to rob the semi truck.
Yeah.
There's no score and it's just weirdly quiet.
I didn't notice
that. I was unnerved by, like, unless someone was yelling, there was just no sound. It was bizarre. I couldn't get over that. So I'm glad that that wasn't the full action climax and they had the chase scene after that one dude gets gunned down and where they actually have a score in that, because then I was like, it was unnoticed. If they didn't have a score again, I wouldn't finish that movie.
Huh, weird.
But yeah, I just couldn't get into that. I have no idea why they did that. It almost felt like they forgot it. Or like when I was watching that on Crave, they just somehow lost that in the like, it just didn't make it over to Crave somehow.
Yeah, maybe they lost, like they were out of budget. And so the composer was just like, well, I still have this scene to score. They're like, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
We're done. Like, you can't do anymore. Sorry.
Yeah.
But I actually didn't notice that. So maybe I was just into the scene, you know?
Like maybe you're just too much into like, no, he's losing his family.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. But like if in 2001, you watch this movie, I mean, you would have been a child, but say like you now.
I wouldn't
like,
have been allowed to. I'd be five at the most.
I would say like at the age you are now, but like in 2001,
mm-hmm.
put yourself there. You just watched The Fast and the Furious and somebody else from the future, me, turns to you and says, did you know that this is going to be a $1 billion franchise with over 10 movies?
Mm-hmm.
Would you have believed me at that time?
No. Yeah. I would assume like, okay, they hard spin off from this. They scrap this stuff with Paul Walker. Clearly he's not the ticket out.
Yeah.
But this Vin Diesel guy, I bet they could do something with him. That would be my inclination, that they cut out some of the dead weight and just let Vin Diesel do something for an hour and a half to 2 hours for 10 movies. And I bet you that could get that gross.
Well, especially now, like when you look at, like, I haven't seen 9, but even like 8, the scale of those movies to where they started is absurd. Like it's like a completely different point. They went from like street racing and being guys that stole tube TVs out of cars to being people saving the world, driving cars on submarines under ice water. Like, it's ridiculous.
I kind of love that.
Yeah.
I felt like almost making it be an undercover cop thing grounded it too much when they could have off the bat gone crazier and zanier and they could have had a bit more runway with it right off the start.
Yeah.
I would have been fine with that.
I also think I would have enjoyed the like reveal of Brian being a cop more if I didn't already know that.
Yeah. It's weird that they just have him be a cop early on.
Yeah. But like, did you know? Because like, I feel like their idea was that they would want to reveal that to you later, like after he got arrested.
Yeah. Like what they should have done is built it up as a, is he a cop? Is he not a cop? And then he reveals it when that guy who sucks a lot is injured. I think that'd be a way cooler way to do that than just tell you that he is a cop, diffuse all of that tension around if he is or not, and then have like one moment where it comes into conflict where they're questioning him, but then he's able to clear himself by quick thinking.
Yeah.
When like they really could have played into that of, is he a cop or not?
Yeah. Cause then you can also cut out all of those scenes with the FBI and the other cop.
Yeah, they do nothing.
Setup. Yeah. It's just, those, and even those characters were like, they were almost caricatures. Like they were just like, stupid cop or like FBI guy, like they I don't even know if they had names. They were just like there and they were just saying classic lines like, you need to get Dom now, it's been Dom all along, you have 36 hours. Like, oh come on, just like get up, just like leave him be. And I think that would maybe make this movie a little bit more efficient with his runtime, but I don't know.
And I can't think of one effect that the cops actually had on this, because if you cut out that Paul Walker character is a cop, he still is working, trying to get into race wars, which even in 2001, race wars, that's bold. I don't know how you could do that. It starts off, first of all, the double entendre aside.
Right.
That's a stupid name.
Yes.
Race wars. Like, what do you call the Olympics? Like, sport battle. Like, that's stupid. Get a better name than race war. A race is already a competition.
Yeah.
You don't need to add war as a tag on. But back to the plot details, it doesn't change that Paul Walker is trying to get to race wars to prove himself.
Mm.
He doesn't need to be the guy that busts that motorcycle gang. That can just happen. And they can still accuse Dom of being the snitch, even though they don't know that he is.
Yeah.
That the cops don't actually come into the picture at any point to arrest anyone other than the chase where they're already doing illegal street racing. So that's also not a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So much of this is not added by him revealing that he's a cop before he needs to.
Yeah. I also think in retrospective, it doesn't help like knowing where the franchise goes, because you know Brian's not going to be a cop forever.
You can't be.
Like,
does not last well.
No. Like, he's not going to be a cop like even past this movie. Like, guaranteed. Yeah. And so there's almost no stakes when you watch it now.
Mm-hmm.
Which, like, at the time it might have felt like a little bit higher stakes, but like, because we have this knowledge now, like, when we're watching it, it's like, well, even if he gets found out, like, we know that he's going to leave. Like, yeah, we know he's going to be with Mia or something. Like, you kind of have that expectation. And so, like, even though I had that expectation, I could still, like, sit there and enjoy. But I feel like if I was watching this completely blind for the first time with no prior expectations of anything in the franchise, then I might have had an even better time.
Yeah.
Because those reveals might have been a bit better. Like, you reveal Brian's cop, and then there's also the will they, won't they of will he arrest Dom, mm-hmm, or will he, like, family or whatever, yeah, the fuck the story is. And so that might have been more interesting if, you know, we didn't know. And yeah, that's one of the, like, downsides to retrospective in, mm-hmm, just in general. But I think it especially hurt this movie being, yeah, such a big franchise.
Like, even removed from the fact that we know that this cop storyline's unsustainable,
yeah,
this movie needed to be a 90-minute movie, and you have 10 minutes of footage that doesn't further the plot. Yeah. How do you not cut that?
Yeah. I did find that the race scenes and the action scenes were pretty good, though. Like,
yeah, you can see where they build from that, because it's a, yeah, solid base.
Yeah. And, like, there was some of the racing scenes where they're just, like, going in a straight line. I'm like, okay, they're just, yeah, racing in a straight line. But, like, the action scenes, especially the heist scenes, like, those were really well done. But also, I was looking at Brian in the scene at the end, and there's obvious scenes where it's his stunt double. Like, it's so obvious. He's, like, in focus. Like, it's wacky. Like, they do their best, but, yeah, like, his hairline is different. Like, it's higher. Mm-hmm. And so, like, one scene he'll have, like, his normal hairline, and then the next scene is, like, some guy with this massive forehead. That was not well hidden, but, like, the action scenes itself and the stunt work was really well done.
Yeah.
Did you want to hear what other people thought about it?
Let's hear what other people thought about it.
All right. Rotten Tomatoes, it has a critic score of 53%.
Yeah, that checks.
Audience score 74%.
That all tracks, yeah, baby.
IMDb 6.8 and Metacritic 58. So pretty, yeah, middle of the pact, which I think is completely fair.
I couldn't ask for more for this, yeah, film.
On a budget, though, of $38 million, it made $206 million worldwide, placing it at number 19 for the 2001 box office.
Damn. So, I mean, yeah, it's almost hard to understand why this movie in any other year, if it doesn't have that financial success, is just an average action movie,
yeah,
with, like, I mean, I don't want to call it B-list actors, but at the time, pretty much.
Well,
and,
yeah.
Yeah. And never spins out into 10 movies.
Paul Walker was super new. Like, yeah, I think Vin Diesel was the big name here.
Yeah.
And even, I don't know what he had been in before, but I know that he was somewhat known, but I'm pretty, mm-hmm, sure Paul Walker was, like, a relatively unknown. Would you ever rewatch this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could be in the right setting to rewatch, yeah, this, but God, that music, I'd want to either rip my ears off or mute it at particular parts because the songs are so bad. Yeah. The song they have playing when they raid the Tran family. Mm. Oh my God, I've never heard something worse in my life. It's so bad.
Yeah, but it's fun because it's
no,
bad.
It's not. This isn't bad enough to be fun, or it's too bad to be fun. I don't know, but the same result either way. Mm. Yeah.
That's fine. Are you interested to continue the series?
Yeah, I'm curious to see how they get there.
Yeah.
I don't know if I want to sink 10 movies worth of time into it.
That's fair.
But I'm not against it.
I think I want to watch all of them before 10, because I think 10's the last one.
Mm-hmm.
And so if that's where it's ending, then I kind of want to just, like, get through them so that I get the full sense by the time we get to the end, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't know. Whenever I'll do that, I don't know. Maybe on this Christmas break that I have now.
Yeah. I feel like if I grew up with this series, I'd be more inclined to keep up with it. Yeah. But, like, seeing that I need to watch 9 movies, well, I guess now it's just 8, to get to the last one, that's a hard no. I don't have time in my day. And, well, I didn't care enough after the first one, too.
Yeah,
Even though I know they get better, I just don't think I have the emotional connection to it.
I mean, it is 9 if you watch Hobbs and Shaw.
But do you? Do you watch Hobbs and Shaw?
I watched Hobbs and Shaw. I actually own all of them, including Hobbs and Shaw. I want the 4K, though. I bought the set when it was a 1:7. And then, no, it was 1:6. It was like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 2 disc sets. Mm-hmm. And then I bought 7, and then I bought 8 on 4K, 9 on 4K, and Hobbs and Shaw on 4K. Mm-hmm. And that was when I had finally got a 4K TV and had those capabilities. But now I'm stuck with this 1:6 on Blu-ray. Oh. And they have a 1:9 on 4K, like a set.
Yeah.
So do I buy the 1:9 4K set and then replace everything, even including the 4Ks that I have? Or they have individual 4Ks, which it would be maybe more expensive. I got to do a cost analysis here.
That's
so
true.
That's a bit of an aside. But what do the good people of Letterboxd think of Fast and Furious?
They certainly think. I didn't scroll to the right part of the page. In fact, they think about this. It's 3.2. However, decent reviews. I was pretty happy with the caliber of reply that was in there for these.
Yeah,
so
good.
We're starting off with Nadine Smith, 3.5 stars. It's a multi-ethnic utopia in which the rave of the 1990s never ended and 9/11 didn't happen. It's a beautiful place, a beautiful time. John, no rating. This is camp for heterosexual men. That captured so much how I felt about it.
Yeah.
Because, like, that's exactly how the characters act. That's how overly dramatic this is and how intense it is in, like, that particular scene.
Oh, that's great.
Den of Geeks, 3 stars. Man, Shakespeare would have loved this.
Oh, man.
And one more for you. Jamie Woodham, 4 stars. I have drinking the Coronas that were in the icebox and which you were probably saving for family dinner. Forgive me. They were delicious. So crisp and so cold. So I don't know if you're familiar with the original poem this is riffing on.
Yeah.
I think it's called like Plum or something.
I don't know.
Let me read the actual
poem. I feel
poem.
Like I've heard it.
Oh, it's called This Is Just to Say. I have eaten the plums that were in the icebox, in which you were probably saving for breakfast. Forgive me. They were delicious. So sweet and so cold. That was a really funny riff.
That's good, yeah. Like, I would not have caught that in the Letterboxd reviews, so good for them.
Yeah, getting they put good formatting work into it. Like, they let you know that it is. But that's all I got for fine Letterboxd reviews, because I felt like it started off strong and then tapered off for that. So I'm like, well, I mean, if I can, in 2 pages, knock this out, baby, I'm doing that.
Yeah, good. Well, let's talk about the awards then. It wasn't nominated for any Academy Awards.
Shocked.
But it was nominated for a bunch of MTV and World Stunt Awards. In fact, it was nominated for 5 MTV Movie Awards and won. It was actually nominated for the Best Movie Award, Best Male Performer for Vin Diesel, Breakthrough Male Performance for Paul Walker, Best On-Screen Team for Vin and Paul, and Best Action Sequence, which was the final race. It won Best On-Screen Team for Vin Diesel and Paul Walker.
I feel like the final race wasn't even the best action sequence in the movie.
Yeah.
That's a weird one to nominate.
Like the one where they're going across the train track?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
It's just weird slow-mos. Like, yeah, there's true. 2 better action scenes within 30 minutes of that.
Yeah. And it was nominated for 7 World Stunt Awards and won 5. The 5 that it won were Best Driving for the truck hijacking scene, Best Work with a Vehicle when the stunt performer transfers from the sports car to the semi-truck, Best Stunt by a Woman for the truck hijacking, Best Stunt by a Man for the semi-truck mid-air 360, and Best Stunt Coordinator. So yeah, I feel like that's where a lot of the craft went in.
Yeah, and this movie deserves the cred for that too.
Yeah, and I've always said, we'll say this every year, I think this should be a Oscar category. Best stunt work or best stunt performances or best. I think it's combined into one because then you get the coordinator and the performers. And
yeah.
Or I guess you could separate best stunt performance and best stunt coordination. I don't know. I feel like that would get a bit of a draw though, because then you're nominating movies.
Especially when the Academy's trying to get more engagement with it. Why would you not go for more spectacle?
Anyways.
Yeah.
We'll rant about that every year. Until they do it, and then we won't. All right, we'll finish off with interesting facts here. This was hilarious, and I read this before I watched the movie. Neither Michelle Rodriguez nor Jordana Brewster, which is Mia and Letty, had driver's license or even learner's permits before the production of the film. And I noticed this because you never see Letty actually driving. You see her behind the wheel, but you never see her like moving in a vehicle. Like every time you see her moving in a vehicle, it's always in those shots where you can tell it's like probably green screened around her.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of silly. What? It's funny that wasn't a requirement to be in the movie.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Paul Walker and Matt Schultz carefully choreographed the fight scene outside the grocery store, but when it came time to shoot, didn't feel right. In the end, they just improvised.
I mean, that's kind of fun. Yeah. It shouldn't feel like a good fight. Like it's supposed to be 2 dudes who just like, this has the feeling that like every day they show up to fight each other. So it should just be a grapple mess in the street. It shouldn't be actually that cool.
Yeah, which I think it was pretty effective. I would have not even known if it was not choreographed. During the race wars, real life drivers brought their cars to participate in the huge scene. Overall, there were over 1,500 cars at race wars.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
That name sucks.
I know. We'll get there. You need a better name. We'll get there. I was hoping you would either bring it up because I was going to bring it up later because I got a fact about that. Filmmakers asked owners of houses in the background to repaint their houses with more muted colors to show off the more beautiful colors of the cars.
Did they at least pay to have that done for these people?
Probably. I don't know.
I hope so.
Yeah, I hope so too. There was a lot of facts that were about people that were like almost cast in these roles. This mm-hmm. was the most interesting one, though. Natalie Portman, Sarah Michelle Gellar, Kristen Dunst, and Jessica Biel auditioned for the role of Mia.
Damn.
So I think they chose the right one.
Yeah, I'm really happy with their call.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine. Natalie Portman would have been really young, too.
Yeah.
And so would, I mean, Sarah Michelle Gellar would have probably been around that. Yeah, I don't know. You would know Sarah Michelle Gellar when you see her. Do you know Buffy the Vampire Slayer?
Yes.
Okay, that's her.
Okay, yeah. I recognize the names. Couldn't place her.
Working. Okay, this is the fact that is related to Race Wars. Anyways, working titles for the film included Racer X, Redline, and Race Wars.
No, that wasn't going to be the name of the movie. It was considered. Not.
Could you imagine this franchise still existing?
Oh my God.
With the title Race Wars.
No, but like. So first of all, they thought about doing this. Okay, that's terrible, but whatever. Someone was still so attached to it that they kept it. What this deserved was a giant red X saying, no, you can't do this. Don't do this. You can't. No. But instead, they're like, well, maybe we can still work it in. What I really love is Race Wars. That's terrible.
Could you imagine? Hey, honey, I'm going to watch the 10th Race War movie. Like, my God.
Oh, they dodged a bullet. Especially when the two male leads are different ethnicities. That could really paint the wrong picture.
But after deciding against all those titles, the title rights, not the story rights, to the 1954 film titled The Fast and the Furious, another film about racing, surprise, surprise, had to be purchased so that the title could be used. So, I mean, they made the right call. They didn't choose Race Wars.
It's scary how close they came to choosing Race Wars.
But they also had to purchase title rights to a 1950s film to get away from Race Wars. So,
I mean, how fast and furious could they be in the 1950s? Cars couldn't go past like a jogging pace. Shut up. Race Wars.
Last one. The street where Vin Diesel crashes his car at the end of the film is the same location as the narcotics bust in Training Day, which was also written by David Ayer. So, yeah.
He loves that corner.
He really does. But any final thoughts on The Fast and the Furious?
If you ever feel like Race War is an appropriate name for something, stop. Stop. And that's my last thought on Training Day. I mean, yeah. Wait, no. The Fast and the Furious. David Ayer. What's yours?
I'm going to probably watch Too Fast, Too Furious next. Yeah. I'm gonna go check it out.
I mean, that's
Two
so
Race,
fun.
Two Wars.
No. Oh, no.
Oh, man. Oh, anyways, I want to thank you all for listening to the second bonus episode of season 3. Sorry it's been a little bit later than usual. As always, you can find us everywhere on social media at Snubs and Dubs. That's on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Letterboxd, etc. We're also on Good Pod, so make sure to check us out there and join our official Discord. We'd love to hear your guys' thoughts on Race Wars or on Fast and Furious. or on this episode. So please send us a tweet or a message with a question, recommendation, or anything else. I'm also at Kyle Tobiason on Twitter. And Jason's at @Winnie_Mills. Of course, all of those.
And Jason is @Race_Wars.
That's literally what I thought. That's literally where my brain went. And Jason's at @Race_Wars. Oh, fuck me. That's so good. I mean, it's so bad, but it's so bad. There it is. Of course, all those links will be in the show notes. Make sure to leave a 5-star review, share the show to everyone you know, and check back on Monday where we're kicking off 2023 with The Man Who Wasn't There. And yes, that's a movie. We're not talking about my dad. You can also look forward to the final bonus episode of the season just before the season 3 finale. But for now, thanks for listening. That's a wrap. Bye.
Bye to the next Race War.